Good morning. Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. What a truth. In light of that, let us open our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 49. Psalm 49. Undoubtedly, we are standing in the what is the most important weekend in all of history, including Friday, Saturday, and then Easter Sunday. And we find ourselves in Psalm 49. Hear now the reading of God's Word. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in time of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of the riches? Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they call lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boast. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man, in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Those of you who have read or watched Tolkien's famous novel, The Hobbit, will know that when Gollum and Bilbo Baggins had their first encounter inside the Misty Mountains by the subterranean lake, they played a dangerous game having to do with, anybody know? Riddles. Now, the rules of the game were simple. They would take turns speaking riddles to each other, and the game ends when one of them cannot provide the correct answer. But it was a dangerous game since the stakes could not have been any higher, especially for Bilbo. The stakes were as follows. If Bilbo is able to stump Gollum with a riddle, then Gollum has to lead Bilbo out of the cave and into freedom. But if Gollum is able to stump Bilbo with a riddle, then he gets to eat Bilbo. If Bilbo wins, he gains freedom. If Bilbo loses, he dies a horrible death. That's a very high stakes game of riddles. And this brings us, believe it or not, to the purpose of Psalm 49, which I have included in your notes. The purpose of Psalm 49, which is this, to solve a universal what? Riddle. To solve a universal riddle. Read with me verses 1 through 4 once again. Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my what? My riddle to the music of the lyre. The psalmist is talking about a riddle of universal proportions. And he wants everyone to hear what he has to say. So you better listen, no matter who you are. If you actually pay attention, this psalm, Psalm 49, can change your life forever. If you don't pay attention, you may one day regret it also forever. In a very real sense, the stakes are at the highest. Every time we open God's word, we are confronted with issues of life and death. Every time you open God's word, you are confronted with issues of life and death. And the psalmist wants you to know that. So give yourself fully this morning to what you will hear for the next few minutes. There is an urgency to Psalm 49, that is for sure. The stakes are very, very high. But why are we even talking about a riddle on Easter Sunday? Well, because Easter is the final solution to that riddle, as I hope to show you. Now, a riddle, by definition, is something that can create a deep sense of perplexity in our minds and needs to be worked through carefully, which brings me back to Gollum and Bilbo's high-stake situation. At one point, as they stood there in the darkness, Gollum posed a riddle to Bilbo that went as follows. Those of you who have read the book or watched the movies, you remember this. The riddle was this, and I quote, "This thing, all things devours, birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays kings, ruins towns, and beats high mountain down," end quote. In The Hobbit, the answer to the riddle is what? Time, time. I, however, take issue with that answer. I respectfully disagree with Gollum. You see, the reason I take issue with that answer to the riddle as being time is that time is not the enemy of mankind. Time was created by God, and it makes humans able to enjoy creation and life. It was God, after all, who created the great time markers, such as the day and night, sun and moon. Time and its passing was not intended for evil, but for good. Time was God's idea. Time is not the problem. Gollum's riddle, in my mind, has a different answer, an answer that fits perfectly well with Psalm 49. Here it is in your notes. Here's the riddle revealed. That is the first main point, the riddle revealed. I have reappropriated and shortened Gollum's riddle with Psalm 49 as my guide. It goes as follows in your notes. This thing, all things devours, i.e., death. The wages of sin. That, my friends, is the real enemy of mankind. It is only because of death that we sometimes dread the passing of time. But where did death come from? Well, through their sin, Adam and Eve opened the door for death to come into this world, as God told them in the garden, "The day you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will surely die." Death is the real intruder. Death was not meant to be. And death has been baffling people for millennia, thousands of years. It has become the greatest riddle of mankind. What can we be done about death? Psalm 49 will make the case for us. Now, let's unpack the riddle a bit more. If you're following the notes, there are four subpoints there in your sermon notes, each one highlighting different aspects of this riddle called death. First, according to the psalmist, the riddle of death is, number one, that it draws everyone to itself. It draws everyone to itself, meaning you cannot escape it. You cannot escape it. It does not matter how busy or distracted you get in life. It does not matter where you go or where you stay, nor does it matter where you choose to lay down your roots in this life. When it comes to death, it will draw you to itself without fail. You cannot hide from it. It truly does eventually devour all things. Can anything be done about it? That's the riddle. You see, here's the second. The second thing about the riddle of death. It consumes both rich and poor. That's the second thing. It consumes both rich and poor. In other words, you cannot bribe it. You cannot bribe it. Consider verses 5 through 9 once again and think about the irrefutable logic of it. Verse 5, why should I fear in time of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their abundance of their riches. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, verse 9, that he should live on for how long? Forever and never see the pit. What is the pit? The grave. As I said, the logic is irrefutable. And therefore, it is devastating to human pride. Notice the clear dynamics at play between riches and the grave. Do you see it? The psalmist is saying that no amount of riches will keep you from the grave. You cannot buy your way out of it. You cannot offer death or God a bribe to avoid it. What can you give in exchange for your life? Is there a payment you can give to God to keep your life from the pit? What will you offer God to live forever? When in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus asks, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Jesus was thinking about Psalm 49, verses 7 through 9. What shall a man give in return for his soul? Can you negotiate with death? Can you negotiate with God? If you say yes, then the follow-up question is obvious. With what are you going to negotiate? Do you have anything more valuable than your very life that you might give God in order to keep your life forever? What is that? Your bank account? Don't be silly, right? Death doesn't care about your money. Death doesn't even care about how healthy you are, how strong you might be, how pretty or handsome you might be. The whole point of Psalm 49 is to make sure you and I know that we do not possess anything that comes even remotely close to being as valuable as life itself. We have zero negotiating power to avoid death. Verse 17, look at verse 17. For when he, a man, dies, he will carry how many things? Nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. Look at verse 19. His soul will go to the generation of his fathers who will never again see light. Verse 20. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like what? Like beasts that perish. Doesn't that just make you feel so well? Verses 20 and 12 have essentially the same message about beasts. Now, you know what beasts do? This is interesting. Beasts. They are willing to kill and destroy in order to satisfy their appetites. Male lions and male bears are known for eating their own cubs. That's because they are driven solely by instinct without any understanding. All beasts know is that they don't want to die, all the while not knowing that they inevitably will. And so they leave a path of destruction as they cling to life, even as they are heading for death themselves. Men can be just like that. Going about their lives without understanding that death is actually coming. They accumulate wealth at whatever cost, and they live for that wealth, all the while ignoring the fact that one day it will all be over, and they will take nothing with them. Your money won't save you. Stop pretending as if it will. That's the point. But that's not all. We're not done yet. What we see next about the riddle of death is that it touches both wise and fool. It touches both wise and fool. In other words, you cannot outsmart it. You cannot outsmart it. Look at verse 10. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Think about this. Even though humans have been around for millennia, including some of the greatest philosophical and scientific minds, someone has yet to come up with a way to escape death and live forever. Not even the greatest philosopher have been able to solve the riddle of death. It has proven unsolvable. We just keep dying, generation after generation after generation. That's part of the point of the book of Ecclesiastes. With death looming large, everything feels like vanity. Richard Dawkins, one of the most well-known and vocal atheists in the world, he argues that the brevity of life should not be a source of complaint, but something to be thankful for, he says. Life is too short, he says, therefore it is precious. But this flies in the face of everything the Bible says. Richard Dawkins sounds more like a man in denial than a man of wisdom. Get this, we are supposed to lament the reality of death, not try to beautify it. We were made for life, not for death. But I get it. I get it. If you are an atheist, you need some kind of coping mechanism. Death is simply too overwhelming. It is too crushing for someone without a hope that can transcend it. But that's why death is a riddle. You cannot explain it away, no matter how many PhDs in science you may have, especially given the last aspect of the riddle of death, according to Psalm 49 in your notes. Number four, it attaches itself permanently. It attaches itself permanently, meaning you cannot overcome it. You cannot overcome it. The finality and irreversibility of death are perhaps the most brutal elements of it. Once it comes, it wraps itself around you. It is there to stay. You simply cannot shake it off. Now, speaking of this permanent attachment of death, look at verse 11. It says, their graves are their homes for how long? Forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they call lands by their own names. And then in verse 12, it says this, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like a beast that perishes. Listen to this. Man will do many things to try to perpetuate themselves into the future, to carry their own names forever. But the psalmist will not let us forget that we all will have to call a grave our home, no matter how many things have your name engraved in them. I hope you're beginning to see the point of the psalmist. He wants us to awaken to the riddle of death. You cannot escape it. You cannot bribe it. You cannot outsmart it. You cannot overcome it. That's the riddle of death. And the stakes are as high as they can be. So it is not just a riddle, but a reality. Now, having revealed the riddle of death, the psalmist now will do something shocking, which is point two in your notes. Here is the riddle challenged. The riddle challenged. In verse 15, the psalmist is going to challenge this riddle. And he says this, but God will do what? Ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, namely death, for he will receive me. In your notes, God will do something about death. A glorious day is coming, the psalmist says. In the middle of this rather dark and depressing riddle of death, the psalmist burst forth in verse 15 with what I have called in your notes, the Jewish hope. The Jewish hope. The Jewish hope, as revealed in the Old Testament, was that even though death is a riddle impossible for us to solve, humanly speaking, God will intervene. That was the Jewish hope. They believed that God would eventually provide what we cannot provide. What is that? A ransom price for our lives so that we might live forever and not be confined to the grave forever. They actually believed that. But let me show you. I've included two verses in your notes there. First, turn to Isaiah chapter 25, verses 7 and 8. If you're using the Pew Bibles, this is on page 586. 586, Isaiah 25, verses 7 through 8. Now, these verses will provide the words for those two blanks in your notes. So, pay attention. First, Isaiah 25, verse 7, it says this. Now, remember, this was 700 years before the coming of Jesus. And he, meaning God, will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. What is that covering? What is that veil? Here it is, verse 8. God will, what? Swallow up, what? Death forever. That's the fill in the blanks there. God will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. 700 years before the coming of Jesus, Isaiah knew that God would do something about the riddle of death. He will swallow it up. Are you beginning to see glimpses of Easter Sunday in the horizon? Now go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, this is on page 750 in our Pew Bibles. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 is perhaps the most explicit statement about the Jewish hope in all the Old Testament. Daniel 12, verse 2, listen to this very carefully. And many of those who sleep in the dust, where are they? What do we call that? The grave. Many of those who sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, a glorious day is coming. Daniel thought, a glorious day is coming when the grave will not be able to hold people down anymore. God will do something that will provoke dead bodies to come to life. Are you beginning to see glimpses of Easter in the horizon? Once again, what is the Jewish hope? God is going to deal with death. God is going to deal with the grave. God is going to answer that impossible riddle for us. But notice this, don't miss this. That Jewish hope consists of God doing something in their future. In their future. Did you notice that? Isaiah was writing 700 years before, Daniel about 500 years before. God will do something to solve the riddle of death. For the Jews of the Old Testament times, this hope was all about looking forward to something that was yet to come. The Old Testament is a book primarily of expectation, forward-looking. And that's how the Jewish people challenged the riddle of death. They looked at death with hope of a future intervention from God. But what about us? For us, it's a little different. We still look to the future, but only because of something that has already happened in our past, which is point three. The riddle solved. The riddle solved. And what do you think is the first blank there? God did something about death. Now, go back to Psalm 49 and look again at verse 15. Psalm 49, verse 15. There's a critical word in that verse that we cannot afford to miss in this discussion. The psalmist says this: but God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Let me ask you this. What do you think is the critical word? in verse 15. I hear a lot of whispers. What is it? Who said it? Ransom. The critical word is ransom. A ransom. What is a ransom? A ransom is an amount paid in order to get someone or something in return. In a hostage situation, for example, the ransom price buys the freedom of the captives and restores them to their loved ones. Psalm 49 is saying that we are the captives, and who is our captor? Death. Death. That's the whole point of Psalm 49. Remember the riddle. You cannot escape it. You cannot bribe it. You cannot outsmart it. You cannot overcome it. There is nothing we can give to free ourselves from going to the grave. But God can. God can buy our freedom. And the ransom price is beyond comprehension. What God gave in order to ransom us, to buy our freedom from death, is unthinkable. In your notes, His Son was the ransom. You see, the wages of sin is death. In other words, sin deserves a payment. What is the payment that sin deserves? Death. Sin deserves death. That is why we die. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The reason we die and we go to the grave is because we have sinned. But Jesus, God's Son incarnate, never sinned. Never once. In His entire life, He never sinned. He is the only human being who was not deserving of death because He never sinned. Yet, your notes, on Good Friday, Jesus paid the wages of sin by dying. On Good Friday, Jesus paid the wages of sin by dying. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. If you're using our Pew Bibles, this is in page 991, 991. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Now remember the critical word in Psalm 49, verse 15. What is the critical word? Ransom or rescue payment. Rescue payment. Now with that in mind, follow along as I read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man. What is His name? The man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as what? As a what? Ransom, rescue payment for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Let me say something obvious. Death wants to kill. Death wants to kill. So this is what God did. He gave death and sin what they wanted. Death. The death of His own precious Son, Jesus. Like that invasive weed that wraps itself around a tree in order to kill it, God allowed death to wrap itself around His own beloved Son who became flesh, the Lord Jesus. On Good Friday, Jesus, as He breathed His last on the cross, death swallowed Him up, as it were. The grave opened its mouth to receive the Son of God in the flesh. And there He stayed for 3 days, lifeless. But notice this. He gave Himself as a ransom. Listen to this. Jesus did not go to His own death as a victim, but as a rescuer. His death was not a defeat, but a rescue payment. In other words, and in the language of Psalm 49, verse 4, Jesus died to solve the ancient riddle, the riddle of death. When the psalmist says, God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol or death. He was looking forward to Good Friday. Even if he didn't fully understand it yet. That's how God paid the ransom, by letting death get a grip on his own son. But here's something death did not know. Death did not know that by wrapping itself around Jesus, she was sealing her own fate. It went like this. Death wrapped itself around Jesus. For 3 days, death remained wrapped around Jesus. But on the third day, something happened that death did not see coming, which is the next point. Jesus, what did he do? Can you guess that blank? Fulfilled the Jewish hope. Do you remember the Jewish hope based on Isaiah 25, verse 8? The Jews believed that God would one day swallow up death for how long? Forever. After Jesus died on the cross for our sins, Jesus went into the tomb with death wrapped around him tightly. But on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead in his own body by the power of God. Now, check this out. Jesus went into that tomb dead, but came out how? Alive, which means that death was left inside that tomb forever. How come? Well, Jesus came out of the tomb with an indestructible body that will never die again. He came out of the tomb with an indestructible, renewed body that will never die again. Death can no longer touch Jesus. When Jesus came out of that tomb with a new indestructible body, death was left inside the tomb. Or as I have put it in your notes, on Easter Sunday, death was swallowed up in victory. When Jesus came out of the tomb, death was left in the grave where it belongs forever. Jesus and death shall never meet again. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. What the Jewish people were hoping for with great anticipation, as reflected in Psalm 49, verse 15, meaning resurrection life, came true in this one man named Jesus of Nazareth, who was dead upon the cross, but was bodily raised from the dead and is alive forevermore. Jesus solved the ancient riddle of death, but one issue remains. Jesus died, and Jesus rose from the dead. He solved the riddle. But what does that mean for us? Now, as we bring our time to a close, consider with me, in your notes, how to solve the riddle in our own lives. And I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. There's only one way for you and I to deal with the riddle of death, and it has to do, obviously, with Jesus. Apart from him, the riddle of death remains unsolved, and you will not find the answer anywhere else. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you want the work of Jesus to mean something for you, then listen to this. Verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To solve the riddle of death in our lives, we need to do two things. They're in your notes. First, you know it already. What is the first thing? Confess with your mouth what? That Jesus is Lord. That's the first thing. Second, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's how the riddle of death is solved in our lives. By faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are ransomed from the grave and we are promised eternal life with Christ. Now, as we begin to wrap this up, consider with me one last time, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to read it to you again. It says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. Now listen to this as we finish this. Jesus rose from the dead as a historical fact. It's not a myth. Jesus rose from the dead as a historical fact. His physical body was renewed, and he left the tomb empty. As the song we're about to sing says, one day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered, now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. But don't miss this. Because of that first Easter Sunday, because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead in his own body in the first century, we know that a day is coming when all the dead will be raised from their graves, as Daniel 12:2 says. That day is coming. Those who have trusted in Jesus will be raised to eternal life in their bodies with Christ, and they will share in his present reality forevermore. Those who have ignored Jesus, who have rejected Jesus, will be raised to everlasting destruction apart from him. Which one will you be? When that day finally comes and the dead are raised from their graves, which one will you be? Will you enter into eternal life with Christ, or will you enter eternal death without him? A glorious day is coming for those who belong and believe in Christ Jesus. Will you be there? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder through Psalm 49 that this riddle that has kept the greatest philosophers in the world, the greatest minds in the world, the greatest scientists in the world without an answer. This riddle of death has been finally and definitively, victoriously answered in the person of your Son. And so we know that a glorious day is coming in which all those who believe in you, Lord Jesus, will join you in your eternal, everlasting life. Their bodies will be raised from the dead, and they will enter into the joy of your salvation forevermore. And so I pray for those who are in this room listening to this, who are perhaps playing with their lives. I pray that this morning they will be awakened to the reality that death is coming, the grave is coming, that no amount of money or distractions or entertainment or education will keep us from it, and that the only one who can keep us from the grave and raise us up to new life is Christ Jesus. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, the power of your Word, this will become clear. Open the eyes of the blind, Lord. Help them see that in the death of Christ there is forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with you, and that in the resurrection of Jesus there is life eternal for us. And we thank you, Lord, that we no longer have to fear the power of Sheol, the power of death, the power of the grave, for it has been defeated forever. And we look forward to that glorious day when all these things will come true. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.